Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul! I will praise the Lord as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes and mortals, in those there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth, and on that day all their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphans and the widows. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all the generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. We now share in our New Testament lesson from John 10, chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in any other way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not know the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to the fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Awesome is my favorite word in English. When I first came to this country, I saw the word and I pronounced it awesome. And I said all the time, "Oh, that's awesome." And then I heard that word. Then I heard the word awesome, and one of my friends said, "Eunice, it's not awesome, it's awesome." And I'm like, "I love the word still." And so when Lois called me and said, "Pastor Eunice, can you tell me the title of the sermon of today is about the good shepherd," I said, "Awesome shepherd." Awesome. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And we ask you at this time that you open our hearts and our minds, that you settle our souls, our mind, so we could listen to your word, to what you're trying to tell us this morning. May the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In ancient Israel, shepherds took care of hundreds of sheep at once. As you can imagine, this job was very difficult and a full-time commitment. Sheep are helpless to defend themselves against any attack from natural enemies like lions, bears, wolves, hyenas, and foxes that can come in both during the day and at night. And so these shepherds had to be on a watch, had to be alert at all time. Another danger for the sheep are thieves. They came at night to steal the sheep, to sell them, or to add them to the flock. To avoid this, the shepherd built a pen to keep the sheep together and to protect them at night. The Old Testament used this word, shepherd, or sheep, to refer to the people of Israel or to refer to God itself, to God's care and desire for ancient Israel, for those people, and for us today. So let me share with you some of this scripture. Shepherding was used to describe those people who dedicated to care and guide the people of Israel in order for them to seek God's way and to follow God's voice. Some examples of those were priests and prophets like Ezekiel, Samuel, Zechariah, Malachi, Jeremiah, and Abraham. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2 says, "Therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for lack of a shepherd." The imagery of a shepherd was used to refer also to God. In the book of Psalms, David called God the shepherd of his life. As you know, the most popular psalm is Psalm 23. Many of us know it by memory. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He likes me lays down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right path for his name's sake." Do you know that this psalm is the most popular scripture reading in funerals? Pretty much, I will say 98%, perhaps even more. We might say, why? Why families and people choose to read this psalm? I guess this imagery, my friends, portray God as a good shepherd. It brings us comfort to a suffering, grieving heart. It gives us the assurance that God is present with us, that God loved us during the most difficult times of our lives, and that alone brings us comfort and peace. Jesus, my friends, is a good shepherd, an awesome shepherd who loves us no matter what, who loved us, who would not leave us, would not forsake us. When I was a little girl, I had night terrors. And every time I woke up crying, I went to my mom's bed And I woke her up, and I was crying. And I said to her, I'm afraid. I had this bad dream. The first time she held me and stayed with me, brought me to my bed, and that happened again and again and again. And then one day she said to me, Eunice, whenever that happened to you, stay in bed and recite the Lord's Prayer. Ask for comfort. Ask for peace. God, Jesus is with you. Pray the Lord's Prayer. And I have to say that every time this beautiful song brought comfort to my heart, all of a sudden my fear started to dissipate, and I was able to once go back to sleep. As an adult, I continue with this tradition. There has been many nights that I'm up at night. It could be stress that I'm carrying out from my job, stress from my family. It could be that I'm going through a very painful and difficult time in my life. Many times I'm crying at night. And I said to God, God, I don't understand what I'm going through this difficult situation. I know that you are with me no matter what, and that you would not leave me, would not forsake us. But sometimes, as a human, I doubt. Sometimes, because I'm a human being, I don't feel you. But your promise goes beyond that. God is bigger than us. God can take our fears. God can take our brokenness. And so, even at 53 years old, I have carried my mom's wisdom and words. When I cannot sleep, I recite, I pray the Lord's Prayer many times until I am able to fall asleep. In the New Testament, Jesus often spoke in rural images that communicated visually to the people that he addressed. And the word shepherd is one of them. In the gospel of today, Jesus shared with his disciples and those who were around him that he considered himself a good shepherd. The word kalos, the Greek word kalos, translated in English, is good. It describes what is noble, wholesome, good quality, excellent. So our kalos, my brothers and my sisters, is Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the one who promised to be with us at all times. You say amen?
Amen.
Jesus, my friend, is good, is awesome, and Jesus is the one who guides us. John chapter 10, verse 4 says, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We follow Jesus because we're able, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of our darkest day, we follow Jesus because we can recognize his voice. As a pastor myself, I have had the privilege to walk alongside God's children, many, many of them, through good times and bad times, birth, weddings, baptisms, celebrations, accomplishments. But also, I have the humble privilege to walk with God's children through the most difficult and painful times in their life journey. Illness, death, family crisis, divorce, family conflict. And through it all, as a pastor, I always said to God, God, these are your children. Give me the wisdom. Give me the words when I myself don't have any. Give me the love. Give me the compassion. Guide me, oh God, through my words and my action, that they're able to see you, that they're able to trust you, to know that you are the good shepherd and that you are there with each one of them through the end of times. That, my brothers and my sisters, is a promise. Friends, today we celebrate Father's Day. You might be a father or have been like a father to others. Jesus, my friends, is also encouraging all fathers here, all those who are like dad for others, to guide our children in God's righteousness, to help them to be good people, to help us to be, for us to be role models to each one of them, so they themselves could choose the right path, to be good citizens, good people, to be honest, to be compassionate. We want our children and those that we sponsor, that we love and we guide, to make good decisions. You know, it is not easy to guide our children and those that God have put on under our care. We parents never stop guiding our children. As a matter of fact, when they grow up, I think is when they listen more to us. I don't know if that's your case, but you know, when my children were teenagers, you know, they thought they knew it all. And that's a difficult age because they don't want to listen to their parents. All of them have moved out from home. I have my little one at home, and she'll be moving in a month to Pittsburgh. And will you believe that as an adult, they called us for guidance, for counsel? They listened to us, and they're really open to accept our guidance, our thoughts, because, again, they know that we're older and we have experienced some of those difficulties in life. My mom suffered from Alzheimer's, and as she continued with her illness, it was hard for her to remember a lot of thoughts. But I am a preacher's kid, and my mom remembered how hard it was to be a pastor's wife and how hard it is to raise her children as pastor's kids. And so when I talked to her, she couldn't remember a lot of things towards the end. But you know what? She remembered church. She remembered that some way, somehow, I was a pastor when I started talking to her. And she remembered stories. She was able to connect with me in ways that it was so special, that in ways that she was not able to remember perhaps our lives and our stories as mother and daughter. She was able to remember, and even through her Alzheimer's, she was able to give me counsel, to guide me, to give me strength for my ministry, pastoral ministry, for that day and for the days ahead. So God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is with us, and he is the one who guides us and guides us to all truth and through every circumstance. Jesus guides us through his words, through other Christians, friends, spiritual mentors. Jesus guides us as we are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit the one who is with us, inside of us, and guide us to all truth. Number two, Jesus is a good shepherd, and he knows us by name. The Eastern shepherds raised sheep for wool rather than for food. Those sheep were usually with a shepherd for many, many years. The shepherds knew each sheep, every single one of them. Sheep knew the shepherd's voice. The shepherd know the uniqueness of each sheep. They know them by name. Isn't that amazing? The Indian theologian D.T. Niles once noticed a young Indian shepherd boy keeping a huge flock of sheep. He stopped and asked, "How many sheep do you have?" "I don't know," answered the boy. "I can't count." Niles asked him, "How do you know if someone of your sheep haven't wandered off? When you get to the place where you are going to camp at night." To his astonishment, the boy answered, "I don't know how many wander off, but I know each one of them. I can't count, but each sheep has his name, and I know their names." I love when a friend says, "Eunice, I know you. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know what you like or don't like. I know your traditions. I know how you think, how you act, and that sometimes is dangerous." I say I love this because it means that this person have invested in me, has the intentionality to know who I am, to know me deeply. This person has spent quality time with me, and he or she know who I am and knows my name. You know, God in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who created each one of us, knows everything about you, knows you by name. Each one of us and all of God's children all over the world. After Psalm 23, Psalm 139 is my second favorite psalm. It said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know when you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word comes on my tongue, you, Lord, knows it." Isn't that beautiful? We United Methodist Church know this at God's grace. God loves us no matter what. God's grace is with us, even when we don't feel it, and even when we do not deserve it. God loves you, and there's nothing you could do about it. Number four, last but not least, God loves you. God is an awesome shepherd, and this God, through the person of Jesus Christ, died for you. This shepherd places his body between the sheep and the vicious animals. Shepherds will protect their sheep. So Jesus died for each one of us so we could have life and life abundantly. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life in order that we might be saved. He was willing to do that for you and for me. When I think about the characteristics of a good shepherd, I simply exclaim, what a savior. Jesus is a good shepherd, an awesome shepherd who understands each one of us. But there's something that we must do. There's an action that each one of us must take every single day. We need to accept Jesus as the owner of our life. We need to invite Jesus into our heart to be our shepherd. And we do that by opening our heart and invite Jesus in. And once we take this step, we're able to recognize his voice, we're able to follow him to green pastures and righteousness. Have you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you accepted this awesome shepherd? And if you have not, all you have to do is to say, Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Come and help me to follow you. As the days and the following week, I invite you to pray to God every single day, to give him thanks for who God is, to give him thanks for sending Jesus into our lives. But I'm also going to encourage you this week to think about a person or two that perhaps he or she doesn't know Jesus Christ, that perhaps that person is stumbling or doubting, and that God used you as an instrument of grace, as an instrument to bring this person back, to let them know that Jesus loves them and that Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. You know, shepherds don birth in the life of the church, shepherds perhaps don't birth sheep. All the sheep are the one who bring others to Christ. Amen.